New details about the highly contagious Delta variant and the next chapter of the pandemic.
Experts are now talking about a disturbing possibility, vaccine-resistant strains of the coronavirus.
I'm Scott Simon.
I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro, and this is Up First from NPR News.
How the virus is changing and how the White House is responding.
And if the sunsets look hazy to you this weekend,
it might be smoke from the wildfires that continue to rage in the western U.S.
We'll hear how climate change has turned much of the country into a tinderbox.
Suddenly, the risk of things really drying out before the rains come again the next fall isn't just a little higher, it's a lot higher than it would have been.
So stay with us. We've got the news you need to start your weekend.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/upfirst.
Just as most Americans ease up, a reminder of just how dangerous this coronavirus can be.
Indeed, new data released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention point to why the agency changed its guidance on masking. It now recommends that even fully vaccinated people mask up indoors in places where the virus is spreading rapidly. But we stress, vaccination is still the best way to protect yourself from getting sick.
The Delta variant of the virus is held responsible, and that more contagious version of the coronavirus is a warning flag to researchers. Here to try to talk us all through it is NPR health correspondent Maria Godoy. Maria, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Please tell us what we know today that we just didn't know last week.
Well, we knew that the Delta variant was more than twice as contagious as the original strain. What we've learned this week is that it's so contagious, when a fully vaccinated person gets a breakthrough infection, the levels of virus found in their nose is just as high as someone who hasn't been vaccinated, meaning they can transmit and spread the virus. That's a big deal, and it's why the CDC is now advising the vaccinated to mask up indoors in public places. We learned yesterday that a lot of this information comes from an outbreak on Cape Cod. Starting with the July 4th celebrations and for the next couple of weeks, several hundred people, most of whom were vaccinated, got infected at large public gatherings. And what this tells us is that breakthrough cases are contributing to the spread.
Maria, does this mean the vaccines are losing effectiveness?
Well, so the good news is that vaccines are still extremely effective when it comes to protecting people against severe disease and death, even in the face of Delta. The bad news is that if you're unvaccinated, it's looking like the Delta variant may potentially make you sicker. That's according to an internal CDC slideshow that was leaked Thursday night, and it pointed to studies from Scotland, Canada, and Singapore showing people infected with the Delta strain may be 3 to 4 times more likely to end up in the hospital and twice as likely to die compared with previous strains.
And please tell us about the dangers as the virus continues to mutate.
So Delta is still the most concerning strain here in the U.S., but the virus is constantly adapting. That's what viruses do. They evolve. I spoke with Stephen Goldstein. He studies virus evolution at the University of Utah. He calls Delta a warning.
It is a warning for us that there are can be variants that arise. There's no rule that says Delta has to be as bad as it can get. And over time, we are going to get variants emerge that are less and even less susceptible to the vaccines.
Less and less susceptible to the vaccines. How likely is that to happen?
Well, this week, European researchers released a new modeling study that asked that question. They wanted to know what factors might raise the risk that a vaccine-resistant strain emerges. And one of the surprising things they found is that the risk is highest when you have a lot of the population vaccinated, but you also have a lot of transmission going on, like we do now. The model finds that's exactly the wrong time to ease up on mask wearing and other precautions. And the reason why is that the more people you have infected, the more opportunity the virus has to mutate into something vaccine resistant. And if you had a vaccine-resistant strain emerge when there's a lot of vaccinated people around, it would have an evolutionary advantage over other strains. The model suggests when there's lots of transmission, you want to keep masking and take other precautions to prevent spread until almost everyone is vaccinated so that the virus doesn't get the chance to evolve into something worse.
That's a grim thought, Maria.
Yeah, but the way to avoid that scenario is to vaccinate everyone and do it quickly. Every researcher I've spoken with says that's ultimately the way out of this.
NPR health correspondent Maria Godoy, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
The new surge in COVID cases presents President Biden with a big messaging challenge.
In May, the president got rid of his own mask and proudly announced that people who were fully vaccinated didn't need to wear one either.
Now he's putting one back on and having to explain why. NPR White House correspondent Franco Ordonez joins us now to talk about the job before Biden at this moment in the pandemic. Hello.
Hi, Lulu.
As we just heard, the Delta variant is dangerous, and there's no guarantee another variant won't be more dangerous. I mean, we should say that this is a novel virus and things are changing all the time. But how effective is the White House in explaining that and the shifting guidance from the CDC?
They're a bit defensive when it comes to the about face and messaging. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre went through a timeline on Friday that aimed to show the White House was warning about the Delta variant all along. But really, for a group that emphasizes the science, it's kind of striking that they didn't have their scientists give any public briefings since Tuesday, and at a time when there are so many questions about what this shift means. Here's how Jean-Pierre responded to specific questions about that.
The doctors have been on national television all week speaking to this, answering the questions on your networks. So they've been out there talking about it. They're not hiding. They're actually having the conversations with anchors and hosts and answering the hard questions about the Delta variant, about the CDC masking.
Okay, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director, was on Fox News last night answering audience questions, but it's gotten some attention.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of attention. There were some confusing comments, specifically about a federal mandate for the vaccine. That's something that Biden was asked about on Thursday. He said he wasn't sure if he could even order that for everyone. But the Pentagon is looking at making it mandatory for the military. Walensky was asked whether she supports mandating the vaccine on the federal level, and she replied, quote, "That's something that I think the administration is looking into." Well, later she had to clean up the comment. On Twitter, she said she was talking about portions of the federal government, and she emphasized, quote, "There will be no federal mandate. This is a delicate issue, and it's for an important audience, many of whom may be unvaccinated and are skeptical."
How is Biden trying to handle the politics of getting people to wear masks again and to get vaccinated?
Well, he was very careful this week not to blame anyone for not getting vaccinated. He praised Republicans who've spoken out in favor of vaccinations, including Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. And he tried to explain to people why this week's bad news shows that they need to get the shot. In a speech from the East Room that I was at, he was very blunt about this being a tragedy.
People are dying and will die who don't have to die. If you're out there unvaccinated, you don't have to die.
Now, Biden's approval ratings to this point have been strong on how he's handled the pandemic. But this is coming at a time when a lot of people thought the worst was over. Biden last night was asked whether more restrictions were in the works. He said, in all probability, but added that he hopes vaccination rates will go up.
That's NPR White House correspondent Franco Ordonez. Franco, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And remember, you can find lots more from Franco and from NPR's congressional and justice correspondents in the NPR Politics podcast. This weekend, smoke blankets the U.S. from Oregon to South Carolina as dozens of wildfires burn in the West.
President Biden began the weekend by speaking to Western state governors about preventing these disasters as firefighting resources stretch thin.
Lauren Summers on NPR's climate team joins us now. Lauren, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
We talk about fires in the West now almost routinely. Last year was record-breaking. Is this looking to be the same kind of season?
Yeah, it's been a very busy fire season already because many of the fires have been so fast moving. You know, in Southern Oregon, the biggest wildfire in the country, the Bootleg Fire, has burned more than 400,000 acres. In California, the Dixie Fire is burning not far from where the Camp Fire burned in 2018, which destroyed thousands of homes. So residents are on alert yet again. Compared to last year at this time, wildfires have burned 3 times more acreage already in the state, and the worst of fire season hasn't hit yet, which is typically August, September, October.
What do the governors tell the president they need from the federal government to try and contend with the fires?
Yeah, firefighting resources are tight, including aircraft, so governors highlighted that. But managing forests also came up. A lot of western forests are denser than they once were. That's because in the past century, the goal was to suppress fires, so that left forests with a lot of fuel to burn. President Biden told the governors that billions of dollars could be on the way to deal with that.
And I'm hopeful that we're going to get a lot of the infrastructure plan passed and the Recovery Act that has a lot of money in here to help you all manage these forests.
Biden also said that stopping these extreme fires also depends on tackling climate change, and that the bipartisan infrastructure plan that lawmakers are working on right now is also key because it has things like incentives for electric cars. But the climate spending in that plan is nowhere near as ambitious as Biden originally proposed.
Lauren, let's be more explicit about the connection between climate change and what we're seeing in the West.
Yeah, I mean, the extremes this year are alarming, even for scientists who study this. Last month was the hottest June recorded in the U.S. since record-keeping began. The vast majority of the West, you know, 95%, is facing drought and dry conditions. These hot and dry conditions, they pull the moisture out of plants and soils, and that sets the stage for extreme fire behavior. And that gets much worse when you add climate change, according to Columbia University climate scientist Radley Horton.
You're effectively going to see more evaporation of whatever moisture there is into the atmosphere much earlier. So suddenly the risk of things really drying out before the rains come again the next fall isn't just a little higher. It's a lot higher than it would have been.
So noting that, Lauren, what can people in fire-prone places do to try and stay safe?
Most wildfires are started by people accidentally. It's things like leftover campfires or sparks from yard equipment. So officials are, of course, asking people to be aware. But it's also really important that homeowners and communities prepare for evacuation and reduce the flammable materials and vegetation around them. You know, that's this thing called defensible space. The work has to happen every year. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it can really improve the chances that homes survive.
NPR climate correspondent Lauren Sommer. Lauren, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that's Up First for Saturday, July 31st.
This weekend version of the podcast has been produced by Hiva Ahmad, Sophia Boyd, Danny Henschel, and Isabella Gomez Sarmiento.
Our editors, Dee Parvaz, Jan Johnson, Barry Hardiman, Ed McNulty, and Jan Stewart.
Ned Wharton and Michael Radcliffe are our directors.
Stu Rushfield is our technical director with engineering support from Daniel Shukin and Tom Marquito.
Evie Stone is our supervising editor, and Sarah Lucy Oliver, our executive producer.
And Jim Kane is our deputy managing editor. I am Lulu Garcia Navarro.
And I'm Scott Simon. Up First, back Monday with news to start your week. You can follow us on social media. We're at Up First on Twitter.
And you can hear us on the radio. Weekend Edition is on every Saturday and Sunday morning. Find your NPR station at stations.npr.org. And have a great weekend.
NPR's Planet Money Summer School is back. This season is all about investing. We've got stories of big bets, bubble spotting, and cute animals, too. Every Wednesday till Labor Day from NPR's Planet Money.